You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following is a special Christmas presentation of The Lutheran Hour. Christmas choir sings joy to the world, but you may not be feeling so joyful. Statistics reveal that more people are depressed during the holiday season than at any other time of the year. Some people become so depressed they wish they'd never been born. Have you ever felt that way? The real message of Christmas is about a child who was glad to be born. That child was Jesus, who was born to be your Savior. Join us today as Dr. Dale Meyer tells why this good news can bring joy to your life this Christmas and every day. The Comer Corps of Concordia University, Wisconsin, begins our program singing From God the Father, Virgin Born. Listening to The Lutheran Hour. Next, Dr. Dale Meyer and his message titled, The Child Glad to Be Born. Later, you'll hear how you can receive a free copy of our Christmas booklet. Now, here is Dr. Dale Meyer.
O child of Bethlehem, you went from the manger to the cross. You suffered a terrible death, but now you live and give us joyful life. We thank you for coming into our world of sin and sorrow and death. We thank you, Jesus, that you, the eternal and divine Son of God, were pleased to become also a human being, born of the Virgin Mary. You came to free us from sin and death and Satan. You come to comfort us in every time of trouble and temptation. One day you will receive your faithful into the eternal and unending joys of heaven. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born on Christmas morning. Jesus, to thee be glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Did you ever wish you hadn't been born? That's a downbeat way to begin a Christmas message, I know. But if you want this to be an uplifting Christmas, let's face it. Most of us have times when we wish we hadn't been born. Sometimes those feelings pass, but sometimes they hang on and they draw us to do things we shouldn't do. Your husband beats you. You're making up lies to friends about those bruises. You can't bring yourself to leave him. You feel trapped and don't have the will to get out. Sometimes you wish you'd never been born. You're alone. No family close by. Your friends and co-workers are keeping Christmas with their families, but you're alone. Maybe you didn't even bother to put up Christmas decorations. Some days you wish you hadn't been born. You're broke. You're getting phone calls and threatening letters from people you owe. There seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel. You're starting to think about some desperate solutions to your financial problems. There's an empty spot this Christmas in your home and your heart. Someone you love has died. You had a good life with him, with her, but now your life has no joy, no meaning, and you think that maybe you'd be better off dead, too. Are those depressing thoughts for a holiday season? Sure they are. But tell me, what do you want? Do you want a Christmas that gives you nothing more than temporary relief? Do you want only a day or two in the glitter and then back to what seems to be your useless existence? Or do you want to look at your life and say, I'm glad I was born? Do you want to look at the problems of your life? And they may be severe problems. I'm not trying to minimize that. Yet still be able to say, life is good. That's where I want to take you in this holiday broadcast. I want you to say, I'm glad I was born. The power to say that comes from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a child who was glad to be born. He wanted to be born. No other human being has ever said that. You and I didn't exist before our conception. God the Father knew you would be conceived and born. He looked ahead to you with love, but you didn't exist until you were conceived. No human being has ever wanted to be born except Jesus. The Christ child is the eternal Son of God. As the Church confesses in the Creed, Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. This eternal Son of God wanted to be born. God the Father wanted to send Him into the world. So God the Holy Spirit conceived Him in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Martin Luther put this truth in poetic form in his hymn, Dear Christians, one and all, rejoice. God said to His beloved Son, It's time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to all salvation. From sin and sorrow, set them free. Slay bitter death for them, that they may live with you forever. The Son obeyed His Father's will, was born a virgin mother. And God's good pleasure to fulfill, He came to be my brother. His royal power disguised He bore. A servant's form, like mine, He wore to lead the devil captive. Yes, indeed, God's Son wanted to be born. He wanted to come on a rescue mission to free you from sin and sorrow and from death itself. He was glad to do this for you because He's the only one who could do it. It should be obvious that you can't free yourself from sin and sorrow and death. If you think that a better medicine, or a better psychologist, or a new government program is going to free you from sin and sorrow and death, you're kidding yourself. Medicine and counselors and programs have important places, but they can't free you from sin and sorrow and death. The Son of God was glad to be born because He's the only one who can truly set you free. As Jesus Himself says in John chapter 8, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So, He was born. He was born for all, but most especially, He was born for you. That story is told in Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. That was the beginning of some 30 years that he was visible on earth. In many ways, Jesus, the Holy Son of God, was like the rest of us here on earth. He grew up. He ate and drank. He worked and rested. When the Gospel of John talks about Jesus and says the Word became flesh, it means that He really became flesh. Though He was sinless, He was no imaginary Superman. The bullets didn't bounce off of Him. He felt the pain. He especially felt the pain when they nailed him to the cross. Christmas is finally about the cross. My church in Collinsville always saves the Christmas tree. One of the men takes the trunk and fashions it into the shape of a cross. That Christmas tree turned into a cross is brought into the church in Lent. Christmas is ultimately about the cross. Jesus wanted to be born, and Jesus was born so that He could go to the cross and pay to the holy and perfect God the price for your sins. When His suffering and death had satisfied God, God restored His dear Son Jesus to life. Jesus is not dead now. He's alive. He lives to give to you forgiveness of sins, life, and an eternal salvation. That's why we love Him. At least I do. I certainly hope you love Jesus. St. Peter writes, "You never saw Him, but you love Him. You do not see Him now, but you believe in Him. And a joy, unspeakable and wonderful, fills you with delight." Joy, delight. Do you see? The child who wanted to be born can make you glad to be alive. That joy for living comes when you hear His story. The word of Jesus brings joy. It's been that way from day one. The word of the Savior's birth brought joy to the shepherds. Listen. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Those shepherds pursued the joy of life. They went to Jesus. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. Please, do the same. Go after the joy of living that Jesus alone can give. You don't have to make a pilgrimage to Bethlehem. He's no longer confined to a manger. He's not confined to some location in heaven either. Jesus Christ, divine and human, meets you in His Word, His Gospel, His Bible. He who wanted to be born and was, now wants to be born in your heart. When you hear His good news, the things I'm talking about right now, when you open His book, His Bible, that sword of the Spirit that turns your sadness into joy, when you believe that Jesus' birth is not just another part of the mythology that has grown up about Christmas, but rather the birth of this divine child is what gives meaning to Christmas and to life itself. When the Spirit of God brings these truths and words into your heart, then a joy, unspeakable and wonderful, fills you with delight. The poet Phillips Brooks put it this way, "Oh, Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us. Abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel." One of the ornaments that's always brought out at Christmas is Charles Dickens' story, The Christmas Carol. It's so familiar that I fear we might miss its impact. These would be good days for you to read some of Dickens' other novels, because Dickens wrote about people who still live, people who have little or nothing going for them, people who are victimized, people who sometimes lose hope and despair. Louisa Gradgrind was such a person. She's one of the characters in Dickens' novel Hard Times. Born in the industrial city of Coketown, Louisa's parents had money, but they did a terrible job of raising her. It wasn't that they ignored or abused her, no, not that. They failed to teach her love and the things of the heart. As an adult, she finally confronted her father. "What is it, Louisa? Tell me, what is the matter?" he said. "Father, you have trained me from my cradle." "Yes, Louisa." "I curse the hour in which I was born to such a destiny," she said. He looked at her in doubt and dread, vacantly repeating, "Curse the hour? Curse the hour? How could you give me life and take from me all the inappreciable things that raise it from the state of conscious death? Where are the graces of my soul? Where are the sentiments of my heart? What have you done, O Father? What have you done?" There are going to be days when you feel like Louisa. Someone, something, takes the joy of Christmas and drives it away. All of a sudden, you who were glad to be alive feel like Louisa. You curse the day you were born. When those feelings come, as they probably will, meet them with the word of Jesus. Remember why He wanted to be born. Sin and sorrow and death are real things. Jesus wanted to be born and was born to free you from them. When you're feeling down, way down, the good news of Jesus, His gospel, the pages of His Bible can put joy back into your life. St. Paul writes in Galatians 5:1, "Christ has freed us so that we will be free. Stand firm, then, and do not get caught again under a yoke of slavery." And when you meet someone who's down, someone like Louisa, cursing the day of her birth, extend to them the hope of Christ. Tell them the wonderful reason why we celebrate Christmas. Remember what the shepherds did. "Now when they had seen Him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." You and I have a story to tell that will make people marvel. You and I can tell those who despair, those who have been victimized, those who are hurting. You and I can tell those who wish they had never been born about this child who was glad to be born and who can give them joy. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Let our gladness have no end. Alleluia. For to earth did Christ descend. Alleluia. On this day, God gave us Christ, His Son, to save us. Christ, His Son, to save us. Amen.
Bright angel hosts come herald the birth with instruments and song. The Father's gift of priceless worth, your praises now prolong. Gloria in heaven shall be there, in heaven shall be glorio. Gloria in heaven shall be there, in shouts his gloria. Bring royal gifts, come honor the King in wisdom set apart. The dearest gift that you can bring, a loving, trusting heart. Gloria in heaven shall be there, in heaven shall be.
After all the Christmas presents have been opened, some people think that's it, Christmas is over. But Christmas is so much more than receiving or giving presents. Our Christmas booklet will help you meditate on the real meaning of Christmas, the gift of a Savior. Here's how you can receive your free copy. In the U.S. and Canada, call toll-free 1-800-876-9880. That's 1-800-876-9880. Or write to The Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. You can also receive a printed copy of today's message by Dr. Dale Meyer and ask about the availability of sermons in large print or braille. Next week, Dr. Meyer hosts a special broadcast from New York City. He'll talk with people who are meeting the challenge of living a Christian life in what some have called the world's most dangerous city. That's Making It Last, Hope in the New Year, next week. Christmas really is a joyful time. The purpose of this broadcast is to tell everyone that God has already given us the greatest gift of all, a Savior who was born to take away our sin. If you've been blessed by today's program, join us again next week. Invite others to listen, and if you're financially able, won't you consider making a gift to help support this ministry? Our address, The Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. And now Dr. Meyer invites you to join him in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Questions from our listeners. I'm Mark Eicher, and joining us once again is Dr. Dale Meyer.
Hi, Mark, and I want to wish you and your family a blessed Christmas, and to you, our listeners, the same wish. May you have a blessed Christmas celebration this week.
Well, thank you, and same to you and your family. Today we have Christmas questions from parents. Dr. Meyer, like so many people today, we don't have relatives who live nearby. Now, my childhood memories revolve around going to my grandparents' house for the holidays. And I want to build positive holiday memories like that for my children. Could you share with us some holiday traditions that our family could start that'll help us keep our focus on Christ?
Diane and I don't live near relatives either. The year by year, the little things that have to be done come Christmas time become the Meyer family traditions. For example, getting the Christmas tree. Who puts what ornaments where? Putting up the electric train around the bottom of the tree. All of these things that have to be done become tradition as the years go by. When we open our presents, each family member opens one at a time while the others watch. And of course, someone has to open the dog's new toy. Things that have to be done become tradition. But best of all, we visit our neighbors. We call our family on the telephone, and we spend time with one another, more time than we do throughout the rest of the year. That's the best tradition that we have for Christmas.
And now a question from a single parent who writes, I don't enjoy the holiday season anymore because as a single parent, I can't afford to buy presents for my young children. How can we bring the joy of Christmas back into our lives?
Well, that's hard, because TV has been telling you for months now that if you're going to provide your children with a good Christmas celebration, you have to buy this present or that present. And the children get the false idea that Christmas is about receiving presents. What you can give to your children is to instill in them the mystery of this holy time of year when God's Son came down into our world. The tree, the lights, the worship service as a church, and that love of Christ that you show and share with them. They'll remember this mystery many years into the future when they don't even remember anymore what toys they got.
The mystery of Christmas is good. How can we reinforce the meaning of Christmas? They've got all these TV commercials hammering away at them, and they want everything they see advertised.
Well, I'd say show them day by day, month by month, year by year. And don't expect the children to turn around overnight and reject their interest in material things. Well, when you're a child, you look forward to what present you're going to receive come Christmas time. But as you consistently show them that there's one thing that is most important, and that's the gift of the Christ child, the Holy Spirit will be there. And that word of Christ and truth that you share is going to work blessings in their heart. Just keep sharing Jesus with them.
What place does Santa Claus have in Christmas?
I think Santa Claus is a great part of our Christmas celebration. That is Santa Claus when he assumes his proper role, and that is to remind us of the greatest gift we've ever received, the gift of our Savior Jesus. The tradition about Santa Claus goes back many, many, many centuries into the history of the church. Saint Nicholas was, according to tradition, a Christian who helped others with his gifts. And so also today, the Santa Claus in a Christian home is one who points us to Jesus and the greatest gift of all.
Any final thoughts?
The memories of Christmas accumulate year by year, and you and I are going to add another chapter to our Christmas memories in these days. Make Jesus a joyous part of your family celebration, and you may be assured that where Jesus and His Word are present, the Holy Spirit will also be present, and He'll bless the Christmas that you keep.
This program has been brought to you by the Lutheran Layman's League. Merry Christmas, and now may God bless your day.